We appreciate y'all for being here tonight, and thank you, Pastor Kim, for allowing us the opportunity to speak. We'll kind of just keep things a little casual. My baby's probably going to be crying, so I'll probably go in and out trying to help her. but we just kind of wanted to talk about what we've actually been working on and learning on in young adults. So we've been reading Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Groeschel. And it has some really good information in here, and it just spoke a lot of truth to us. And we just wanted to kind of share what we've learned so far with you guys. And kind of go,
Lord, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for this group of ladies, Lord, those that are with us and those that can't be with us. Lord, we just pray your extension and your grace and your love and mercy upon them, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for this night that you fill our mouths, Holy Spirit. We invite you now. We invite your presence and your peace, that every word that we speak, Lord, would just be straight from heaven, straight from you, Lord, through us. We are your vessels, willing and honored. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would use us tonight. We thank you, God, for blessing this time together and blessing each one of these ladies. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I guess I'll give her a little bit more time. So, but basically the book has everything broken down into four different parts. We've covered three parts so far. So those are kind of the three parts we're going to share with you guys today. And then obviously we'll just interject in stuff that we have to say about it too, and just kind of go from there. So for the first part, it's called the replacement principle. And there are three different things that he touches on in this chapter or in this part. The first thing is tracking your daily thoughts. This is something that was a huge reality check for us.
Yeah.
When you actually focus on what you're internally thinking about yourself and your daily situation every day, when you actually have to sit there and track it, you're like, ooh, I'm really thinking that stuff.
I don't know if this is like comes with age or what it is, but like, I don't know that I've ever taken the time to stop really. And I mean, and I know it's a biblical principle, but I don't know that I was ever through teenage, go, 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 and through dating, go, 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 and through marriage, go, 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 and having kids. I don't know that I've ever stopped long enough to even start to process your processing.
Yes. Like,
so this book really helped me put a pause and go, oh, wait a second, you're thinking. Like, you don't even know you're mm-hmm. thinking, and you're thinking all the time. And then all of a sudden, once you're starting to write them down, like you get little homework assignments and you write down your thoughts, you're like, whoa, whoa. And, you know, like you're realizing what you're thinking. And it brings to mind those yeah. things. And you'll go into it, I'm sure. But we have to identify those things to be able to correct them. If we don't even have an identity to them, or we don't even realize we're doing it, which was, I feel like, what I was walking in. I didn't even realize I was thinking certain thoughts. Then you can't even correct them. So you do have to know which way you're going to go get her. Okay. She got a fussy baby out there. So the reality check, we have a reality check. And when you actually focus on what you're internally thinking about yourself and your daily situation, you're identifying your thoughts, you're helping to identify, a lot of lies really, because a lot of what we think are lies. I know I did personally. So we all have thoughts, maybe we don't even realize it. And they're what is propelling us forward. Or holding us back. And we need to be able to identify our thoughts to be able to point out what's the stronghold. So then he goes into our thoughts can be a stronghold. And he goes into a great story of one time they were playing hide and seek in the church. And he was like a staff member at this point. And he locked his friend was hiding in a closet. And so as a little prank, he was razzing him. And he held the door shut, and the guy was trying to bust it open, and he couldn't bust it open because he had the door shut on the other side. Well, whenever he remembered he had a meeting, and so he just walked away from the door and, like, went to go to his meeting, and the guy inside stayed in that closet, not realizing that he had walked away and that door was free to be opened, but the guy never opened the door to get out. So he wound up literally climbing up. He saw, like, an air vent above him. And he literally climbed up into the air vent and went across the office and down to escape because he did not even think to check that the door was open or not. And so often our thoughts can be like that, just like, and they hold us captive and whole time the door's open and we can walk through it, but we're not even thinking that way. We're just thinking, oh, the door was locked or the door was shut and we're not going to even attempt to try to walk through it. So that was a really funny example he gave, but it's so true. And a lot of times we're held captive by our lies, like, I'm not good enough, I'm just an anxious person, or God doesn't care. And so we have to truly renew our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So we have the weapons, reading our Bible, praying, all those things that we can go into, that we're going to go into, that help us replace the lie with the truth. They're going to help us rewire our brain, because it's like a daily routine that you have to literally rewire your thinking and rewire those things that you don't even, maybe aren't even aware of that you're thinking on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's so good. And on top of that, like the whole tracking your daily thoughts, it actually makes you pinpoint those lies too, that you focus on and that you don't realize you focus on every single day. For example, one of the things I realized is sometimes when, I know Amanda mentioned this, when she wakes up in the morning, I knew when I would wake up in the morning and I knew, oh man, I got to take the kids on my own today. I don't have my mom to help me. Oh man, it's going to be such a hard day. Like I just already initially thought that before the day even started. And I was like, okay, nope, I'm not doing that. So as we started reading this, I like took captive that thought and I said, you know what? Nope. This is going to be a great day today. We're going to have a good day. The kids are going to be great. No tantrums. Baby Sissy's going to be good. Everything's going to be great. And the day went great. And sometimes it doesn't go great, but that day it did. But it was being able to take hold of that lie and that thought that initially just popped into my head, like they always pop into your head, and just being able to take captive of it and knowing that, you know, I have the ability to proclaim and claim the day as mine because the Lord has given me the power to do so. And I think that's what's really important is after we track our daily thoughts. Oh, yeah. As we track our daily thoughts and then identify those things, it makes such a big difference. And for me personally, a lot of the lies that I've been believing, it has to do with like motherhood and my status as a wife. And these are parts of my life that God has ordained. So, of course, the enemy is going to continue to repetitively attack me in those areas. So it's just a really good thing to track those thoughts, because then you finally notice, okay, there's a pattern going on here. So obviously God has something good in these areas of my life. So the enemy is going to try to take that away from me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. And there are really good practical ways of taking hold of those things. And it's part of that is the rewire principle. It's the second part, and it's recognizing your ruts, which we've kind of talked about this in the past a little bit, but when think of your brain as like a trail in a forest. Every time you walk that same path, it becomes clearer.
Yeah.
But if you want to change directions, you must stop going down the old trail and you got to go start a new trail. And so that's what it's like whenever we're retraining our minds and rewiring our brain to think these things. We need to repeat God's truths. And so I know some of the examples that I'm standing on, I've shared with you in the past, but I'm standing on, He will make a way for you. Isaiah 43:16, He's fighting your battles. Exodus 14:14, He will provide for you. Philippians 4:19, and to trust His timing. Psalms 37:3. And what I did was, and it was like an activity in the book, but it's such good homework to sit there and think, Lord, what do you have for me? What are the thoughts that you have for me? Because those things are good thoughts. And so you can actually, I believe God will speak to you what He wants to speak to you and what you should be thinking on, but then do some homework, do some research. It's so easy. That's one thing that we highlighted in young adults is it's so accessible now. You can Google exactly what your problem is. I stubbed my toe and I want to think about a good thing. I mean, like, and bam, here comes a scripture for it. Like you can just pull it up. So there's no excuse that we can't go to the Word and get in the Word and apply it to our life for our situation that we need in that moment. It's very accessible, and we're very blessed to have that. I feel like that's one good use of technology that I'm very thankful for.
No, I totally agree. And technically, like what a rut is, it's thinking the same thoughts, doing the same things, experiencing the same problems. And to, like Amanda's been touching on, to get out of that rut is we have to shift our mindset and actually put in the work and practice that. And for me, an example, a bad rut that I, you know, thought of when I was writing these notes is every time my husband compliments me, you know, he's doing what I've asked him to do many times. Like, can you just tell me I'm pretty sometimes? Or I just need to hear that I'm pretty. And he'll tell me, and then instantly my brain goes, no, you're not pretty. Oh, you're not good enough. Actually, you didn't look good today. It just instantly goes
down
that rut.
I told you to say that.
Yes.
I've used that yes, one. Yes. It doesn't count. I've told you to say it.
Exactly. That too. And so, but I noticed that was something that my neuropathways, that's what they talk in the book, it just automatically goes down that trail. I counteract it every single time he tells me anything nice. I'm like, why do I think that way? Like, why does it automatically go that way? And so that's a rut. That's a rut that I have that I'm going to turn into what we go into next to is a trench. We want to create good trenches. And what it says for the trench, a trench has a specific purpose and fixes an existing problem. So instead of going on the rut that just continues to just get us down the wrong path, we want to create good trenches with our mindset and with things that we have, you know, our pathways have automatically gone bad.
So it's one of the shortest chapters, and I find it fascinating because it's very crucial. We need to thank God for what he didn't do. So there's so many times that we get into these ruts, and a lot of times they're ruts of, like, bad things that really happened to us, maybe, like, as a kid or something that you walk through, and it's something that you don't even realize you're thinking. But if you think about, try to find the good in that situation. So, for example, this last weekend, we flew to Arkansas to go see my granddad for his 90th birthday, and our flight there was completely trashed. It was so bad, but it wasn't. It was good. So we get on the plane at 5:55 in the morning, and we're on the runway, and we're about to take off, and they stop the plane, and we sit there for about 6 minutes, and I'm like, where aren't we going? I just figured everybody's lining up, and the pilot comes on and says, there's a light that came on the plane. We can't fly today. We all need to deplane. And I'm like, oh, gosh. So Caleb's getting the full experience, and that's fine and all. And at that point, we were laughing and like, well, okay, we'll get off the plane. But we don't travel that much. So, like, I didn't realize what that meant on the backside. And so we actually wound up getting stuck in the Dallas airport for 8 hours. It was torture. But it wasn't torture. It was fine. I wasn't having to work. And that's what I was trying to retrain my brain. And I think I even told you that. But I wasn't having to work. I was with my kid. And I was by myself with my kid. Like, that never happens. So it was a good day. I mean, we laugh about it now, and we never want to go back to that airport. But but whenever you retrain your brain, it could have been something that, like, we both were really, really bummed about. We wanted to be in Arkansas in the mountains, but we weren't, and so we made the best of it. But I really feel like it was attributed to this book, and we don't know why. You know, we asked God, obviously, before we got on the plane, Lord, protect this plane, protect this trip. We want to get there quickly. We don't know why we didn't get there that day. For whatever reason, we didn't get to Arkansas till 10 o'clock that night. And so it's not for us to know, and so we just let it go. But I truly believe that, though that wasn't the prayer that we prayed originally, that God had his hands on us. And so we believe that as we were walking with him, that those special moments can be changed because of our thinking. And now I can look back on it as a good memory instead of it being something that, like, just drags me down. I'm never going to fly again, or I'm never going to experience this ever again because it was a bad experience. No, we had some good times. We got some good laughs, made some good memories, and we got there. So I thought that was a good chapter in that book.
Yeah, no, for sure. And for me personally, like, I guess more of a touchy, like, unanswered prayer is my babies that are in heaven. It's like, I have two of them that are in heaven, but here I am sitting holding one of my other babies that, you know, got to be here on earth with me. So it's like, even though those first, you know, we had one, then we had Alaya, and then I had another miscarriage, and then we had baby Sissy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, those are my unanswered prayers in a way, because now I get more babies to hold in heaven, but then I still get two special ones here on earth too.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure, God has a reason for everything.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, sometimes it's hard, especially that first time around. That was really hard to go through that and be like, God, like, why would you not give me my baby? Like, why was I not worthy of this baby? And you just, you know, start to go down those rabbit holes of why me? And then he blesses you with a rainbow baby, and you're just like, man, this is great. Like, not that first baby isn't any more special,
for sure,
but it just fills your heart so much more when you know God has a better plan. And now that's all I get to think about is when I'm in heaven. It's like, I get to hold those babies in my arms too.
Yes.
And so sometimes it's hard. It's hard when God, so it feels like God isn't answering a prayer, but in a way it is, it's an unanswered prayer because, like, here I am holding my little baby in my arms right now. And she's crying and not wanting to settle for me. But, like, I'm holding her.
Yes.
And, like, that's something I wouldn't have been able to have,
right,
you know, if some of those answers were or prayers were answered.
Yeah, definitely. So, for sure.
But kind of going more into it. Another thing that I thought was really good from this was a part of it with the unanswered prayers is he was talking about there's collateral goodness that comes from that. And a lot of the time we just think if God's not answering my prayers, you know, you kind of get upset at the beginning, you bargain with God, you kind of tell him, hey, what's going on? But when you finally take the time to step back and actually look at what has happened when that unanswered prayer went by, like, man, well, I'm kind of glad it wasn't answered. Like, he had something so much better in store. So he was saying that there's just collateral goodness that comes from that. And a part of everything, too, it's like kind of going back in the chapters of the book, reminds us that we can't control everything. As much as we want to be control freaks, I know I'm a control freak, so I try to control it all. We can't control the past, and we can't control the future. And so with that, we just have to be try to be as positive as we can with whatever we're currently facing. Because if you just sit in a negative mindset, what good is that doing for you? What good is that doing for your family? What good is that doing for your kids? Nothing. It's just causing you more pain, more anguish, more. It just makes it harder to get through what you're going through. So he just kind of tells us to really just take it. Like, you just have to deal with it. You have to accept that it's happening and go ahead and put your twist to make it positive, because if you're not going to make a positive twist out of it, you're just going to make yourself miserable throughout the entire process.
Yes, definitely.
And then obviously circling God and scripture, that is your rock. That is what you have to stand on during those times when it seems hard. Going off. And that's what he really, it's kind of repetitive in his book, a lot of what he tells us to do. It's like, point out your lies, pinpoint them.
Well, that's part of the next point is it goes into, like, the training. So this doesn't just come overnight. And that's one thing that I've noticed doing the book. It's been nice that it's repetitive, but I am kind of a repetitive person. I like to hear it over and over and over, and then maybe I'll figure it out. But it's training. And so a soldier doesn't go into battle without training. They're prepared every day. They prepare every day. So whenever the fight comes, they're ready. And you won't win a battle in your mind by trying harder for one day. You train by winning consistently, training consistently. So the Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I was reminded of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. David didn't defeat Goliath by luck or last minute burst of courage. He was trained, not in a palace, but in the fields. He fought lions and bears while he was watching his father's sheep. He practiced with a slingshot day after day. And before he even saw the giant. So when he saw Goliath, when Goliath showed up, David was ready. And not because he trusted, or not because he had just thought about it one time. No, he had been out there in the field the whole time practicing and getting what he needed. So he trusted God. And because he trained faithfully in the quiet places, he was victorious when it really mattered. So 1 Samuel 17:37, he says, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. So victory comes to those who train in private so that they can stand with courage in public. And just like David, we prepare for today for battles that we'll face tomorrow.
That's so good.
Yeah, so it's all about that repetition and ruminating that we've been saying a whole lot lately. But it is so true that we have to really retrain our thinking so that we can have those victories.
That's so good. And he also mentioned that ruminating is basically like the biblical synonym for meditating. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to meditate on the word. And it seems so, like, I guess, elementary, kindergarten, that's what I was going to say, to like just do this every day. But they also say, I think, I can't remember how many days, it's almost like a month that it takes. If you do something every day for a month, that's when you'll actually see a change. So it's not just going to take one day. It's not going to just take a week. It's not even going to take just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It could take
when we started this,
month.
I didn't even feel like it. I was like, I don't even, like felt like, wait, I don't get to pet this, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I got to let that thought go.
Yes.
No, it's what I think every day. It's what I want to keep thinking. But then you got to get, you know, you got to get over it.
Yes.
Like, move on into to go to that next level. You're going to have to let go of those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And replace them. That's the main thing. I feel like really replacing them.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to think that. I'm going to think this. Mm-hmm. So that even whenever you have it on paper, maybe even it's just notepad or sticky pad on your refrigerator or on your computer, the second you start thinking something, there it is, so that you can say, nope, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking this.
Yeah. No, that's so good. And he tells us in the book, too, like the way to practice it is you write down your lie. You write down the truth with a scripture, and then you do your declaration that includes, like, I am this and this and this according to the scripture. And so that's a good practice, I think, to go ahead and do, because it makes you write it down, which I am a big believer in writing things down because I think it changes everything. I love typing, don't get me wrong, and I know you love typing too. We love it. But just there's something about actually writing it down that makes it so plain, and that makes it, I don't know how to else describe it.
Well, like transfers it from your brain to the...
to the paper.
Yeah, to actually like
they
physically
say
doing
it.
They say
blue ink is the best too. Blue ink is supposed to make you actually
blue
remember
ink?
It. Yeah, I heard that in school. Supposedly when you write in
where
blue ink...
Where was that
ink,
whenever I was in school?
It's supposed to
I
make
that.
You remember it better. I don't know. I don't really know how true that was. I wasn't really good at going back
I also
back
heard
in.
You're supposed to chew gum while you study.
Really? So that's your ruminating.
Yeah.
You're ruminating while you're writing. Yep. Mm-hmm. But so I do highly, highly recommend that is to obviously write it down. Typing it is good too. If you want to type it, you're a typer. That's great. But even just writing it down, making it plain, and then just saying it out loud every single day, I think it'll totally change your mindset. Mm-hmm. It'll change your life. And we've seen it so far. Like every single time something passes our mind, for her dedication, she had an explosion in the car, in her car seat, in her pretty dress that we were so excited for her to wear, and she got, you know what, all over it. And we were just sitting there, and I was like, I cannot believe this is happening in the Perky Beans line. We get here and I had to change her into a different outfit. That was not what I wanted her to wear. I was already so upset and I was mad. And I was like, I just can't believe this is not going how it's going. Elijah wasn't being very good. He was kind of fuzzy that morning. It just seemed like everything was just going wrong. And automatically I was just going to say, I want to be in a bad mood because I'm having a bad day.
Right. Yeah.
But I went to the bathroom, go change her and feed her. And then I was sitting there and I was like, you know what? That is just the devil trying to attack something that's so special that's about to happen. I'm about to dedicate my baby to the Lord and set her on a path that's going to, you know, make her destiny great and wonderful and just, you know, put her on a way that she needs to go. And the devil is really trying to ruin this morning.
Yeah,
and so I said, you know what? In the bathroom here, I'm sitting there saying, devil, no, not today. It is not happening. We're switching our mind around. I'm going to worship. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be glad. We have all this family here that's here to see this special moment too. And so I said, it's not happening today, devil.
Yeah.
This day is dedicated to the Lord. And after that, I came out here and I worshiped my heart out.
Yep.
And then we dedicated my sweet baby and everything was fine. It was a ruined outfit.
Yeah.
But who cares? Who cares
at
the end of the day?
Well, whenever you look back to, like, again, that's going to be like a silly memory or something. But like if you had taken that on and you had carried that weight.
Heart and heart.
Yeah, it would have. And like from then on, I feel like in the future, you would have looked back and just remembered that as a really bad thing. And that's so unfortunate. And that's what the devil wants to do is take that away from us.
Yes.
So the fact that you got to change your mindset and see the good in it, it changes it all. Even in the future, it's going to change it for you.
For sure.
Because you're not going to, I mean, you'll remember it being silly. You're not going to remember the
now
heart.
I laugh.
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
right.
Oh, well,
exactly.
Of course that happened.
For sure. Which if you had taken it, you probably would have gotten a fight with your spouse, with your family members. Lunch wouldn't have been fun. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It could have ruined the whole day. And off of just something so silly.
Yeah, exactly. Something that
feels big in the moment, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm saying that's just to this, like, you know, I give kudos to Pastor Hunter and Lindsay for, you know, allowing us to read this book and do that because I really think us putting this into practice is a big reason why I was able to actually make that switch faster than I would normally would.
Yeah.
Normally it probably would take me like towards the middle of the day after service, everything after we ate, you know, because you get a little
after
hangry.
You had some regrets.
Yeah. After you know, and then you're like, dang, I probably shouldn't carry this on for the day. But it was felt like more immediate this time because I recognized it faster.
Yeah.
Because we've been training and repeating and doing this.
Yeah, for sure. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know, are you so one of the takeaways is that maybe a little homework for you guys is to bring to your the forefront of your mind, what lie have you been believing? And what truth from God's word will you replace it with?
Yeah.
So maybe in the morning, even whenever you wake up, just kind of in your quiet time, I know whenever my alarm first goes off, I certainly My brain just turns on. My eyes are like drooling on myself. So, but immediately those thoughts, and maybe have a sketch pad next to you and start writing them down. And then if it is a lie from the enemy, if it's not found in the word, find a scripture that combats it, mm-hmm. and get in the word and start correcting those thoughts. You're going to see a big difference, even if it's something simple. I know for me, I kind of spoke on this last time, but my first thought of the day was, I don't feel good. And just like, yeah. Oh, I don't want to get up. So then immediately I said, no, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And then the Lord's going to give me strength today. I'm going to have a lot of joy. Just all the different things that I have written down and that I'm trying to fight with. And it's making a huge difference. Yes. It really, really is. So it's good.
Yeah.
You are not a victim of your thoughts. You are a warrior.
Yes.
And through Christ, you can win the war on your mind, because the war on the mind is the battlefield.
Yes.
Scripture talks about it a lot. So we've got it. We can win the war, and we are warriors, and through Christ and through God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And God has something better for your life than your old way of thinking.
Yep.
And it's time to change your mind so God can change your life. That's a quote from the book. When you change your mind, it really is like the center of all that we do. You're going to start seeing the patterns change, just like her dedication.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be, you're going to always remember how special that day was.
Yeah.
Because you chose that day to renew your mind.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. And I think that's a big part of it too, is even taking the step of breaking these strongholds that have been in our minds. It also activates other parts of your walk with Christ too, because I think it helps you bring him in more. I've noticed that it's every time I've switched my mindset, it's now everything, little thing that happens, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Like, oh, we got a random check in the mail for, or what is it? What are those called? Oh, my goodness, I can't even think of it. It's one of the exemptions that you can get, homestead exemption.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't even think we'd get a refund for that after I filed it. And then, so we get this random check in the mail. And I was like,
praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
How did you know we needed that?
Right.
And, but like, not even just things like that, just any little thing. When I get a good parking spot, I'm like, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And I think it just activates you wanting to actually talk with God every single day.
Yes.
And all those little things that happen throughout your day, you still just keep that active talking with him, because you're starting this, you know, reframing of your mindset, mm-hmm. too. So I think it just activates those parts in our spiritual walk. And at the end of the day, it's going to benefit us. So it's like, why not?
Exactly.
Why not do
it? That's what, yes, it's so true. And that's the back to like the control thing. We always want to control it, and we always want to keep our hand on it. But there's so much freedom in letting it go. And there's blessing in that.
Yes.
Just letting it go. And you can walk in freedom. There was one thing that I was going to say, and I forgot what it was. Lord, bring it to my mind. I think that whenever we are in the Word, obviously renewing our minds, and those things are on our forefront, it does make even just the littlest things more pleasurable,
mm-hmm.
and more enjoyable and more memorable, really.
Yeah.
Stuff that, like, you start living your life just in a different perspective.
Yes.
And it brings joy.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff.
Especially in all different stages of our lives,
yes,
too.
Like, exactly.
With motherhood, every day you're just like, oh, man, they're crying about this. And then it's like, well, I'm thankful, especially with everything that happened with, like, the Camp Mystic and all that.
Oh,
it's just terrible.
For sure.
And I'm sitting here like, I'm grateful I get to hold a crying baby.
Right.
You know?
Totally.
So it just really puts your mind in perspective about everything that you're going through in your current stage of life. But at the end of the day, God's going to bless us, and he's going to always keep us. And with all that, he'll help us break these strongholds too. And at the end of the day, we'll just feel, like you said, more free.
Yeah.
More, just live in freedom,
mm-hmm.
which is so good.
Sure.
Which is nice. I'm like, here, take it.
Yes.
I don't want it.
Yes.
I don't want it, God.
Yeah, I don't want
you
it
got
anymore.
It.
Yes, you got it.
So,
and he's going to have it way better than we ever will.
Yes, for sure.
Yes, it's good.
I think that's pretty much all we wanted to touch on with this book. So we highly recommend, after we're done reading it, we still have one more part that we have to get through. We're going to share with next Tuesday at Young Adults. But if y'all want to borrow this book, let us know. It
highly
is so
it.
Good.
It's also on Audible.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say, I'm not usually good at reading these kinds of books. I'm always like, meh.
Well, that was my first thought.
Yeah.
Was, we're going to read this book.
A
and it was the one
book
that I wrote down was, oh, you don't ever finish anything. You're not a finisher. And so I had to combat that lie.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to finish this book. So, yes.
And it's actually surprised me. It's not a self-help book because it brings scripture in. It's just tying in scripture with some of his examples and his words.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, this
principles.
Is actually good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to finish this.
Where did he get these ideas?
Yeah. The Bible.
Right. <duh. laughs>
But yeah, so let us know if y'all want to borrow the book.
Yeah.
Please, you can have it, borrow it. I've highlighted a couple of things in here, but add your notes. I love reading other people's notes that they make in, you know, other people's books too. But we appreciate you guys listening to us babble. Have our little...